Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we revel in the win over the Rams, try to ignore the lack of a Packers pass rush, and look forward to welcoming the Cardinals to Lambeau Field. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Tucker Kraft.
We got the bad. We got
Dontavian Wicks.
We got the ugly. We got
Jordan Love's pick six. Let me tell you, Corey, that I have not seen something that ugly from a Green Bay Packers quarterback in quite some time. That don't ever want to see anything akin to that ever again. Corey Banky, how you doing?
Good. Good. Nice day here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Can't complain. Fall is upon us. Here we go. Football season. I like it.
We're finally supposed to get dipped down into the 40s tonight and then get some actual fall weather tomorrow here in New York. So I am very ready for it. Very ready for fall. Very ready for some more football. And, of course, always ready for some hotness. Let's get right to it. The hotness. That's right. I mean, this week there can only be one play that exemplifies the hotness. Whether you just wanted to pick apart the decision making behind the play, this throw from Jordan Love to Jaden Reed is beyond a doubt the definition of hotness. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at Jaden Reed knifing through the defense down that right hash mark until he hits the post. Three defenders around him. You think, no, 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 yes! I love how Reed just stands up at the end, too. From the end zone angle here, Jordan says, get Reed down there somewhere. And Reed brings it in. Absolutely legendary, man. I mean, hey, can't quibble with it as it ends in a touchdown, the next play from Josh Jacobs. It was fun to watch all the, learned analysts around the blogosphere regarding the Packers and the NFL talk about the decision-making and the idea that you don't want him to make that throw, but the fact that it is such an amazing throw and the catch from Reed obviously is incredible. My thing is always, and I think you hear it on the watch party clip that Tyler put out there, I'm like pretty much resigned to the fact that it's going to get picked off when I'm watching it live. And then it lands in Reed's hands, and it's like, oh, my God. Like, that's why you come out to the ballpark, right? That's why you watch NFL football. Because these dudes do things like that that are just mind-bendingly awesome. So, hey, as Matt LaFleur himself said, we probably don't encourage that decision. But, man, that is the ultimate no, 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 yes moment. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Getting on to, hey, let's look at, should we, give a shout out to our friend Prize Picks. I think folks who watched on Sunday during our watch party, I came up a little short, 3 out of 4. But Prize Picks is your daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select 2 or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdraws, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun at the link in the description of this video. Cannot wait for Friday to make my picks for the Packers game. Corey, like I said, came up just short. Got 3 out of 4. This week, I'm going to hit all 4. It's going to happen. I promise.
Okay. I don't believe you, but okay.
Probably for good reason. Oh, let's get to some Packers news, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
The good news, right out of the gate, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson returned to practice. Obviously, Watson coming back from that ankle injury he suffered against the Vikings. Romeo Doubs back from being AWOL last week, back in the fold. Sounds like there were very interesting comments out of the locker room, which I'm sure will get all splashed all over Packers media in the next 24 hours for people to pick apart. But Romeo Doubs was at practice.
I don't have any kind of. I mean, not that it's none of my business, but there's no kind of like what happened, like what went down. It's interesting. I just watched some right before the show. I was watching Christian Watson in the locker room, and
yeah, I watched that as well.
Kind of revealing, but not. You know.
Well, the way he says, I loved Christian's take saying, you know, 2 days isn't going to undo 3 years worth of hard work and dedication. Yeah. I think that's a really good line. I don't know, you know, how else you can view it if you're his teammate, right? And then he went on to say something, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but akin to he certainly had a tough moment or stretch there for him. And I think people will run with that and try and dice that however they want. But, you know, the important thing is he's back. He's on board. He's at practice. And hopefully he's at practice Thursday and Friday of this week as well. The only Packer who did not participate in practice today was Devontae Wyatt. Really hate to see it. They got a tough opponent here on Sunday against the Cardinals. They're going to want to run the ball. You want all your big guys available. The fact that he's not practicing on Wednesday probably doesn't bode well. But some good news, Corey Banky.
Yeah.
You sometimes can get a little miffed when the Packers don't get national recognition for some of their excellence. And today, that certainly wasn't the case, as Xavier McKinney was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
I mean,
it should be.
Makes sense.
I mean, it absolutely makes sense. You get not only the interception, but the fumble recovery, and you make a number of tackles as well, and hold down that back end of a defense that continues to take the ball away at a record rate. He himself is setting records. Yeah, it's great to see. It's his second time winning it. Obviously, his first time winning it with the Packers. Hopefully, he wins a few more, wins a Defensive Player of the Month award, and then goes on to win a Defensive Player of the Year award. That's what we're shooting for here.
That's
what we're shooting for.
I like where we're going.
And finally, very important news that I need to keep Corey abreast on. Robert Rochelle, who was released from the Packers on Monday, is back with the Packers today as a member of the practice squad. I know, Corey, you need to move, you know, and adjust your practice squad rankings and everything else tangentially associated with the practice squad of the Green Bay Packers. So
I don't even know
you're
who
up
that
to
is.
Date. You're up to
I
date.
I have no
now.
Idea who that is. Is he a cornerback?
Yes, he is a corner.
Oh,
he was the gentleman who threw the Rams blocker into the ground on a punt coverage situation. He got
five, oh yeah, yeah, nice,
15
nice.
Yards, and the Packers had to start all the way backed up on their own end. But he's back, and I know you're happy. Let's talk about that offense. That offense that was backed up, and that offensive line, she needs to bounce back. Man, this line had been playing pretty well through the first four games of the season. Bit of a up and down affair out in LA, and it's, you know, unfortunate because this is a team I thought, and I think most people thought, the Packers would be able to maybe not take advantage of, but would certainly be able to control the line of scrimmage. Seemed to have a couple of issues in that regard. And Corey, I kind of joked with this about this with Andy earlier this week, but I blame myself for putting Josh Myers on the crosshairs because I dared to put it out there on Twitter and talk about how he's played well these last couple weeks. And then Josh Myers promptly had a really inconsistent game out in LA. So
I mean, I feel like it's a little too early in the season for that. You know, Josh Myers. Like if you look at last season, it takes a little while to get warmed
up. It does.
Up.
It traditionally does. And yeah, you're right. He was playing pretty darn well down the stretch last season. So hopefully, got that out of his system. And it wasn't just him. Sean Ryan, I think, had issues. We saw Elton Jenkins with a false start. You know, Zach Tom was his normal self, but on the whole, I think the line was not up to their usual standard that they've set, especially early in the season. One thing we did see come to life was Robert Kraft
with some yak. No, Tucker Kraft differentiating himself, huh?
My goodness.
We've been waiting for it.
Packers leaning on that in a game where they did not have Christian Watson. They did not have Romeo Doubs. So I think a lot of people are thinking, well, where's that yak? Where are those yards? Where are those big explosive plays going to come from? Obviously, the touchdown, the first touchdown, is a monster explosive play. The next play is yards after the catch, although, you know, not as many, obviously. But, man, what a way to kind of announce your presence to a national audience. I mean, that's a big-time window there in the late afternoon. Lots of people watching. I think the league and the general public, NFL public, is probably going to start learning more and more about Tucker Kraft.
I mean, I think we talked about it last week how he was going to have a game, but I don't think we saw that stiff arm coming. I'll be honest with you. I've been looking forward to the yak. I've been looking forward to Tucker Kraft going to the next level, but I was not prepared for the stiff arm. I wasn't prepared for that level of play from him. And so, yeah, that's great. I mean, we need it.
Yeah, and the way they got him free on that over route, and he's wide open, and allows him to pick up a head of steam, right? And then take care of those defensive backs with his stiff arm. You love to see that. And I do think what's great now, getting hopefully Watson and Doubs back, man, you start really having to worry as a defensive coordinator about how you're going to deploy your personnel because, okay, yeah, Kraft could be out there to block in line. He could be out there to serve as a, you know, extra lineman almost, but then he's out in a route because you've suddenly really overcommitted almost probably trying to cover all these wide receivers. And there's Kraft with either a one-on-one or wide open spaces in front of him. He could be a legit problem going forward. You love it. Speaking of love, got to get Jordan Love in a rhythm earlier in these games. These last 2 weeks, man, and I know he hit the big one to Reed. Obviously, it's a big play, and it's very exciting. But the way he has come out of the gate, you saw how many three and outs after that initial drive. It just hasn't looked smooth. And certainly after the pick six, it was crazy is that he goes, what, 5 of 5 or 6 of 6, something like that, like right after that monster mistake. He seems to be just a streaky kind of player where I don't know what it is. Obviously, that's what Matt and company are paid to do. They have got to unlock and figure out how to get him in a rhythm right out of the gate. Because right now, he's not. Right now, it's very, I want to say, just hit and miss. Inconsistent, choose a phrase, but right now, as soon as, and it's almost similar to what we saw down in Brazil in week one, there are spurts, but it's just not, he's not in rhythm right at the start of the game. And I think that is a big key to getting him going.
It just doesn't feel like they're doing him any favors.
I tend to agree.
So, I know we don't dink and dunk. I get that that's not our strategy on offense. But, you know, hey, look, you see cover two. Maybe get something underneath. And just play what's given to you for a couple drives, you know. Get your run game going. Play what's given to you. I don't know. It's almost like play conservative ball early just to get him going. And the great thing about him, and, you know, I know people say he's streaky, but he never loses his confidence, and he also doesn't have, you know how, like, remember how, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but he was our previous quarterback. And,
yes,
but
sir.
Remember how, like, there were times where Rodgers would be like, and this didn't happen all the time, but he'd kind of overshoot, he'd get a little, you know, that first quarter, he'd have to kind of bring it back, and it would be very consistent, right? It would be like, he would be consistently be either overthrowing or missing targets early, and then he'd kind of get his bearings. With Love, it's literally like every drive is different, which I kind of like, because it just makes you realize that he just doesn't really, he kind of has a cornerback mindset somewhat of like, it doesn't matter what happened on the last play.
The ability to flush it right after every single snap. Like whatever just happened is completely done. And this is an absolute new moment I'm living in. You're right about that. Like, as far as having that mentality of whatever has transpired doesn't inform my present and whatever's coming next. Like, that is on evidence in that streak that he goes on after the pick six, right?
Yeah.
I just really hope Matt can figure out a way to get him in rhythm earlier in these games, because right now you've seen, you know, small inklings of the guy that we all know he can be. Just need to unlock that a little earlier, I think, in some of these situations. Let's talk about the defense. And, man, we talked about it a little bit before we went live here. Evan Williams. Welcome to the show, man.
Wow.
excellent debut for the rookie.
I watched more tape on that this week than anything else, and I literally I watched Theo Ash. Is that his name, the TikTok guy?
Theo, yeah.
He did a whole thing on Evan Williams. I know we've had him on. He did a great segment on that. I watched that like three times. I mean, wow, what a great game for Evan Williams.
Anybody who watched daily over the summer probably got sick of me talking about how excited I was about Evan Williams, how I thought they definitely had a player. And so far, I mean, in his limited action, and it's one game where he's been out there full time. Prior to this, he'd seen a very small smattering. I think hopefully that's just the beginning. And that's what's exciting, because I thought he put some really good stuff out there. But, man, it's interesting to see what this safety group has become in one short offseason from what we've been used to the last couple of years to – there are so many different ways that they can utilize the safety group, including Williams now. Man, that's exciting stuff. Excited to get him back on the field. Now, one thing that helps your safety group and your secondary in general is getting the quarterback on the ground, finding a path to the quarterback. And I know it was frustrating yet again on Sunday against the Rams. And I know Rashawn Gary has been the favorite whipping boy. For good reason. I think there are plenty of plays that you can point to on evidence that he is not winning some one-on-one battles when given opportunities. However, I want to give Jersey Al, our very own Jersey Al, a shout-out. If folks haven't had a chance to check out his three plays that make you go, column here at Cheesehead TV at the website, I highly recommend you check that out this week, because Al did a great job of parsing through a bunch of different pass rush snaps from Gary, and showed three different plays where you can't blame Gary for anything as far as his approach goes, his technique, what have you. It's the ball is just out of the quarterback's hand in a timely manner because of the play call, because of the situation, or because of, you know, the guy that he's throwing to just happens to beat whoever is in the Packers secondary. None of that is Rashawn Gary's fault. And on these clips that Al highlighted, he does a very good job of showing, like, how Gary is winning in these situations. They're just not producing sacks. So that becomes frustrating for us as fans sitting on the outside looking in. You need to get to the quarterback. You need to get him on the ground. And, yeah, as I said, there are certainly plenty that you can point to where he is not winning a one-on-one matchup in obvious passing situations. That doesn't mean he's not ever winning. I hear that. That's important. I mean, important to note.
I saw a Twitter post, and then I saw who's the guy on Twitter that does the salary caps for Packers?
Ken.
Ken
Ingles.
160 mil between Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark. And you know, we talked about Kenny in the second week. We got a lot of hate for that. calling him out a little bit, and then we called out Rashawn. But it's like it's 160 million. So I guess where I go to is like, you know, something interesting. It's like, you know, could that money, do we really need to extend those guys, you know? And that's going to be really the question this season if they don't come on the later half of the season. And hopefully that's what happens. But you're paying a lot of money for not a lot of production. I think I saw, not that I take stock in PFF, but I think Rashawn Gary is on the bottom end of where his position is for throughout the NFL, and so is Kenny Clark, and they're in the kind of bottom half for their positions. And that you don't want to see that. And honestly, like, you know, I don't know. Especially against the Rams, we thought that the pressure there is something about
they were starting
Packers
a lot of
getting
backups,
pressure and not
a lot of
getting
backups
pressure
along
on
their
the
offensive line. And yep, I agree. It's troubling.
It's frustrating.
It's troubling, and it's crazy, too, to hear Matt kind of tap dancing at the podium the last couple weeks about, oh, well, you know, these guys are getting chipped. It's like, the interior guys aren't getting chipped. Maybe at times they're getting doubled, but certainly not every single time, and it's just not happening. And I don't think it's just one guy. I don't think it's Kenny. I don't think it's Rashawn. I don't think it's everybody. Like, Devontae Wyatt obviously hasn't been in there or wasn't in there this past game. He had been having a decent year. But it's the entire front, man. It ain't just one or two guys. There is just no pressure, which is weird because all offseason, all through camp, we saw these guys creating havoc. We saw them getting in the backfield. That is not happening now.
Well, and you saw it against a good team in the Eagles. You saw us getting pressure. So
yeah,
there must be something in, you know, some part of Jair being out is allowing teams to target that weakness in a way
it
that
does
I think
work
defeats
in concert,
the pressure.
Right?
Yeah, I think it does defeat the pressure. Like, to your point about Al talking about the three things, it's like, well, if I know I'm not going to let Rashawn Gary beat me, I'm going to choose ways to deal with that. And somebody like Jair helps you not them be able to do that, not be able to target, your
absolutely.
Lack of a pass rush.
Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly because you know that rush is going to be there. You know the timing of the play. There was a couple plays on Sunday where I saw Rashawn finally use some of that power and the bull rush, right? Put the right tackle in Stafford's lap, only for Stafford to throw completely in rhythm. You know, and again, there's nothing Rashawn can do about that.
No.
If the play is allowed to transpire the way it's drawn up on a blackboard, Rashawn's doing his job. It's just the offense is operating in a way that doesn't allow him to get to the quarterback, even despite his best efforts. So not trying to make excuses for Rashawn. It is frustrating, and he is paid a boatload of money. And the expectation is that he will be getting to the quarterback and getting the quarterback on the ground. That is the expectation once you are handed that contract. Absolutely 1,000% correct.
Or hopefully, at the very least, being part
point,
of
as the year goes on, that starts to develop.
Yeah, or at the very least, like he was in Brazil, where they were swarming. So, you know, maybe there's three guys that get a sack that are responsible. Yeah. And you've seen flashes of this. It's just sad we couldn't do it against the Rams. And, you know, I wonder, and hopefully it's not a trend. You know, hopefully that trends up.
Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you there. Speaking of, you mentioned Jair. What's the lineup when Jair gets back now that we've got all this excitement about Evan Williams getting on the field and Javon Bullard in the slot and Valentine's back out there? I mean, maybe Stokes finally sees the bench a little bit more regularly, I think. I mean, look, and we've talked about Keyshawn Nixon. We talked about him last week. I love this breakdown from Butler over there on the McAfee show. This is an outstanding illustration of something where a player plays well, but nobody talks about it, despite like the play going 100% the Packers' way. But I just love how this highlights a little bit more of like, okay, maybe these guys are doing their jobs, even though, yes, every once in a while they get picked on, they get beat, maybe they miss a tackle, whatever. But that doesn't mean they're not playing at a high level. Let's take a look at this.
5 games in a row, this guy's got interception. Yeah, 5
Damn,
games in a row. First
dog.
Player to do that with the new team since 1970, I believe. Starting in the post right here. So he's on the hash. It's going to go to a single high coverage once again. And once you're in that post, you just got to read the quarterback. Obviously, Matt Stafford's been around. I believe that's Tutu Atwell. If you pause it here, the guy, can you highlight that the slot corner guarding the slot receiver up top? Right there. So outside leverage, doing a great job keeping his outside leverage, forcing the receiver to go more upfield, which forces the quarterback to put more air on the football, and more air on the football, free safeties love it. You'll see him breaking on intention. So right here, the ball is out. He's already breaking. Overruns the receiver, beats him to the spot. Once again, great, great, great job keeping his leverage by that corner. Keyshawn Nixon, I believe, and then getting his 5th interception.
Great, nice. Great, great job, Corey, by Keyshawn Nixon, which helped Xavier McKinney. This is the stuff. And it's like, again, not saying Keyshawn Nixon's like the bomb.com, an all pro or anything, but those are the types of things that people just don't talk about or completely dismiss when they get frustrated at certain other outcomes where, every once in a while, Keyshawn gets beat. No doubt about it. Or he misses a tackle or whatever. Like, yes, he's a football player who sometimes gets beat, but he also is playing at a high level that allows you to work as a defense on the whole. So I hope whatever happens when Jair gets back, I suspect Keyshawn is still going to be a very important part. And I've seen people talk about, Bullard's in the slot full time now. Like, there's no way they go back to Keyshawn. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I think Keyshawn is still going to be heavily involved, without question.
Here, what I do know is if they stop playing Stokes or they move him around, that's the beginning of the end for Stokes, for sure.
Yes.
This is the end of that chapter.
I mean,
and we're probably getting close.
Yeah, we're 5 games in, Corey, and if it was going to click, I would have thought it would be clicking by now as far as, you know, he had a decent training camp, right? You saw certainly real good promise. But, man, it has been hard to watch so far. And that's not to say that he's not doing what's asked. He's certainly a willing tackler. I mean, you talk about guys who are predominantly cover guys being unable or unwilling to tackle. He certainly hasn't shied away from the physicality and that part of the game. But he's just too often the weak link in the chain. Too often the guy who teams are looking at to pick on because they know they can. So I just think, yeah, if you have Valentine as an obvious sub there, or, I mean, a starter in my guesstimation, I think you're right. I think that is probably the beginning of the end for Stokes. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Never know what happens injury-wise, yeah, et cetera. Like, it's a long season. A lot can happen and undoubtedly will. Packers taking on the Cardinals this Sunday there at Lambeau Field. Corey Behnke, the Packers and Cardinals have played each other since 1921. I mean, we think about, obviously, the Lions and the Bears because they're in the division.
Yeah. They've
been playing the Cardinals since 21. That's a pretty storied rivalry right there.
Chicago Cardinals. I think the Chicago Cardinals have a better record than the Chicago Bears, too, in some ways.
I love it. And the Packers are 27-10 at home versus the Cardinals in all those years. I love the idea that the Packers have dominated, which weren't always, as to your point, always the Snowbirds, but they certainly are now, and the Packers have owned them at Lambeau, though they did beat the Packers in Mike McCarthy's final game as head coach.
Yeah, I was there. Thanks. Thanks for
finally,
me.
The Packers.
Every time
the
I Packers think about the Cardinals, I think about those double Hail Marys and then doing everything you need to do to get it done, and then the defense just fucking shitting.
Well, you're talking about the playoff game. You're talking about
yeah, I was at both
game
but
down
yeah,
here,
but yeah,
the Arizona game. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Packers are favored by 5. That's
okay.
Interesting to me after the showing that the Cardinals had against the 49ers in San Francisco last week. Now coming to Lambeau as 5-point underdogs. That's significant. I mean, I know the Packers are probably the better team, but I thought it'd be a little closer than that. Interesting to see if that line moves at all prior to Sunday. If you'd like a more in-depth breakdown of the game itself, Andy and I talk about each and every game, each and every week on the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Goes out tomorrow morning. If you become a diehard member, all we ask is $5 a month. You get that. You get exclusive podcasts. You get merch discounts. You get invited to our happy hour every week, which, by the way, next one is tomorrow night. Good times. Good times. Make sure you sign up for the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. A link to do so is in the description of this video. All right, let's do it. Let's get to Blogosphere. It's time.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, you know Packers Digital has stepped up their game in recent years. And okay, this week, we were treated.
Yeah,
they were on point. We were treated to Tucker Kraft Mic'd Up, of which I'm not going to play the entirety, not even a lot of it, but this one little bit was so good. Let's take a listen.
We're only screaming.
I mean, he's not wrong. They were only screaming.
That's a lot of screaming.
Kind of sounds like us on Watch Party. I like it.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to highlight is the interview Billy and I did on Carry the G Radio with Rashid Walker yesterday morning. If you haven't checked that out, it's available here on the YouTube page. Rashid was kind enough to talk to us on his day off. He's doing some pretty incredible stuff with his foundation for the youth of the community, his youth back in his hometown, but also in Green Bay and Wisconsin. They have a event coming up that you can find out more about in the description of this video. There's a link to not just everything he's doing with that event, but also with his foundation. He's got a pretty sweet giveaway going on right now, also giving some tickets away. You can meet him, enjoy a game, etc. And also, just great to talk to him. Great to talk ball. He talked about the season up till this point. talked about. Obviously, his foundation and just a lot of other great football stuff. And it was so nice to talk to a dude who's playing at a high level, starter for the Green Bay Packers. Literally found out about it like a couple minutes before we went live. A lot of nice. Fun. Good times. Rashid's the man. It was awesome. And then finally, I believe Corey Behnke has an update for us on the continuation of the narrative / conversation around the development right there down the street from you on Lombardi Avenue.
Yeah, so Jeff Ballier did a little article on it for the Green Bay Press Gazette, and he was there at the meeting last Thursday. I was telling everybody about. Tomorrow I'm going to do an interview for WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about it. So we'll be sure to post that when it airs. But we did have a meeting with the neighborhood at a Baptist Church near the Lombardi neighborhood. And I, they're basically the corner of Lombardi and Ridge Road. Here you can see to the right is Lambeau Field. So this is the corner of Lombardi and Ridge. And we'll just keep this up, and I'll just kind of tell you. I don't have, like, a little pointer, but that big, long rectangle along Lombardi, that's going to be a commercial property. Well, this is the proposed development, and everything you see in red is the proposed development for that corner. Now, there's a lot of history. Don't need to go into it, but you'll see the building behind it that's on Ridge and Thorndale. That is going to be – the plan is for having that be condominium, so apartment buildings, and then the one in the front on Lombardi that's going to be the plan is for retail on the bottom, and it's four stories, so pretty tall building. The one
that's
behind it
tall
is so just for reference, neighborhoods. So the neighborhoods on Shadow, they a residential building, so R1, R2 duplexes, they can only be 35 feet tall. So the one I want to point out though is the one that I have. I think that the neighborhood has a. There's two things. There's many things the neighborhood has a main issue with, and just for some reference, you see all those houses that are along Lombardi and back? That's a whole Green mm-hmm. Bay neighborhood. And so you see that building that's popping up on the corner there? That yeah. right there, the plan, the problem with that is they're proposing that building as part of this settlement, a part of this whole planned development. And the reason that is because one person, that guy where there's a house on that property, he would not sell to the main property developer. So they're trading the properties so that he can build. He's proposing was a 70-foot multi-residential unit building, but now it's going to be a 50-foot, so 15 feet taller than any house. And you can see a 50-foot building next to some of those houses are literally one story, not even two stories. And so I think the biggest problem that the neighborhood has, and I'm not speaking for the neighborhood, I am the interim president of the Lombardi Neighborhood Association, which is one of 47 neighborhoods in Green Bay. And I will say the Lombardi Neighborhood Association, the Lombardi Neighborhood encompasses Lombardi to Ridge to 10th all the way to Beameret, not quite 9th. And it really is mostly residential. I mean, a lot of what people talk about when they come to Lambeau is they go, oh, I was in this residential area and this stadium popped up. And that's yep. really mostly what they're talking about is Green Bay. There is a Schwabenon on the other side, but the Packers bought a lot of that land. It became parking lot. So, you know, the number one problem that I think residents and neighbors have is the traffic around this. They're proposing traffic on Frank and Thorndale, which are in the neighborhood, which I don't think anybody wants. And then really that building to me, that building that you see that is the corner, in order for them to have this whole – most people in our neighborhood – that corner needs to be developed. Right now, it's just a parking lot during games, and otherwise, it's nothing else. There's a Venisi statue.
A marker there, yeah.
Marker. But otherwise, most people in the neighborhood want it to be developed. So for some full context, in 2016, they tried to get this developed, and the big sticking point was having a driveway on Thorndale and on Frank Street. Frank Street is right before you go into Shadow. It's the neighborhood in the middle there. And so, you know, a little bit of a controversial development. A lot of people feel that if they do that multi-unit development, now just for full clarity so everybody knows, Green Bay needs housing, right? There's a political issue, and it's not just political, but Green Bay, the town, and Brown County in general, I think it's about 9,000 houses are needed, right? The whole United States has a housing shortage, right? And so, you know, the plan of a lot of this is, hey, we can accommodate some housing. Now, here's the problem. 80% of short-term rentals in Green Bay, Wisconsin are on the west side, as you might think, as you might imagine. They're over on the stadium side. And so almost all of this will turn into short-term housing. There is no law. The state of Wisconsin has a law that literally I've had the city planner tell me that every person in Brown County could decide to make a short-term rental of their house, and they could. There's no restriction. As long as they follow the directions and they do
that's
all the
crazy.
Safety
is
stuff.
That true?
It's crazy.
Really?
Yes, that's 100% true, and a lot of people do not know that, and that is directly from
that's nuts to me.
That's directly from one of the main city planners, and it's because Wisconsin State made a law about short-term rentals. So the most restrictions you can put on short-term rentals, a Schwabenon is doing it right now. So you can do like a four, you can have a four-night stay. I think they have a six-night stay. So whatever they're doing is the limitations of a short-term rental. So part of the problem, you know, part of the thing, you know, it sounds a little NIMBY for those of you in housing, which is not in my backyard, but the backyard, we are the backyard of Lambeau Field here. And part of the beauty of this neighborhood, the house that I'm in, and yeah, there's some, you know, most of these houses were built in, you know, the 50s, 56, 57. They weren't really here. They were here after the stadium. And then, you know, the neighborhood kind of kept moving forward and eventually connected to the rest of the neighborhoods in Green Bay. And I think the number one issue is the traffic issue. There hasn't really been a traffic study since 2016. So, you know, since Titletown and everything else, like, where should the driveways be? A lot of neighbors want the driveways on Lombardi and Ridge and not on the backside. And then the other thing is, you know, do we really want to have huge multi-unit inside of the neighborhood? A lot of people, myself included, feel like that might be the beginning of the end of the Lombardi neighborhood. You know, because once you have one five-story residential building inside of the neighborhood, there's nothing stopping anybody from doing that, you know, everywhere, right? And it might change the tenor of the neighborhood. And really changing
the entire landscape, which is, like, to your point, the beauty and the thing that people gravitate to is exactly what you just talked about as far as, oh, I was there, I was driving, it was all houses, and then all of a sudden, and you hear people say this all the time.
Yep.
There
on
was
television.
Lambeau.
Yep.
There was Lambeau, you know, and it's, yeah, if you change it, you really risk losing that.
And I know we're on the internet, so it's hard for nuance. I'm not proposing that we not have development, right? Because honestly,
right.
That corner is going to get developed. It's the one of the, honestly, and the developer said this, it's one of the, in Wisconsin, it's probably one of the most important non-developed sites in Wisconsin. Like, it's literally across the street from Lambeau Field and Titletown and all the things, right? So it's going to get developed, but I really want, you know, the reason I keep talking about this, and I know people might be annoyed of, like, this is such a local thing, but it's so critical to everything the Green Bay Packers are trying to do and the city of Green Bay. And it just, it's one of these issues where I just want them to get it right. I just want all the,
yeah.
you don't want to have an amateur, I'm not calling the developer amateur, but you don't want to have an amateur development or a mediocre development. It needs to be world class, much like Titletown is world class. And so I just, you know, we're going to have more on it. There's going to be more things. And the next thing, it goes to planning. The city of Green Bay has not weighed in, but, you know, that's just a little update. There's some issues. There's probably going to get developed. I hope that they're not allowed to develop on Frank and Shadow, because I do think that, you know, event that should be kind of held a little
absolutely
bit more sacred.
Yeah. Right.
And so my hope is, you know, people look at it, people read about it, and, you know, we're going to have some call to actions potentially as this thing progresses.
Man, like, look, you're right. Probably there are segments of probably our viewers and listeners who are like, why are we going on about this? But to Corey's point, it really speaks to the fabric of not only what the Packers are doing in the area, but to the organization itself, its relationship with the community. And man, this is the lifeblood of the Packers as far as how they relate not only to their fans, but to the community where they are so important. You guys know we've had the mayor on before to discuss the lease issue. This is something that means a lot to us as fans. So we want people to understand, you know, the ins and outs and the ways these things work and the ripple effects, how it can affect not just the organization, but the area as well. which we, you know, obviously Corey living there, but even myself, who's from the area, has seen it change a bit throughout the years. You just don't ever want to lose what makes it very, very, very special. All right, Corey, we got some folks chiming in on YouTube.
Brendan Marshall.
What are people talking?
Brendan Marshall, who actually posted the Super Chat before the show started, so hopefully Brendan is on. Do you think the pass rush strategy will look more like week one and two, in which they just try to contain Kyler Murray's running ability and maybe don't go as aggressively after him in the pocket? Great question.
I think it's a mix. I don't think it's going to be straight up what we saw in weeks one and two, simply because Kyler's a very different kind of player. Certainly, you saw how much success they had containing Hurts and Richardson those first 2 weeks. Murray's a little different. I do think we'll see a combination of, obviously, rush lane integrity. You got to keep him as pinned in as you can. But I also think Edrin Cooper plays a role here. I think Edrin has a chance here to get to build on, you know, what I think is what his most percentage-wise usage last week against the Rams. He had a really good game, really promising game. Now he has a chance to get out there and probably not necessarily shadow Murray. I don't think he's going to be a straight-up spy the majority of the time. But to use his athleticism as a rover, as a guy who might spy a little bit, just be a sideline-to-sideline presence, that adds a little wrinkle that you can enable along with trying to keep Murray in the pocket as much as possible. And it's not like Murray can't hurt you from the pocket. He has done that a lot this year. It's not like he's just a scramble merchant. He is certainly not that. But they will probably employ, you know, those two kind of levels to try and at least somewhat try to contain him as far as being a rusher.
Matthew Clark, Nags, I need a sick note for the morning, please.
Thanks for the I got it, chat. Matthew. It's on the way across the pond. Don't worry about it. They already know. I already talked to them. I saw your super chat in advance. At work, they're not even expecting you tomorrow, dude. You're fine.
Joe Mailman, why are Packers seldom throwing to running backs this year?
It's a great question. It's something I really wanted to ask Matt about because I talked all summer long about how I thought he was going to get Josh Jacobs really involved in the passing game. You look at last week, he had one catch. And now, it was a decent gain. It was a screen pass that went for about 15 yards. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I really thought they'd be a lot more involved. And clearly, I mean, we've got the big play to Wilson down in Tennessee, right? The big touchdown screen. But those are traditional screen plays. I thought we'd see them a lot more involved. Even just going on like choice routes, Texas routes, whatever, stuff in the flat, stuff even up the field, that has been completely missing from the game plan. Now, some of that might be due to the fact that they started Malik Willis for 2 weeks, you know, and then when Jordan got back, it certainly hasn't seemed to be, hey, let's just check it down to the backs. They've been seemingly wanting to push the ball down the field.
I wish they employed the offense they use with Malik Willis with Jordan Love.
With Jordan Love. I couldn't agree more. Now, I do think, though they'll never admit it, I do think some of that is a reaction to maybe not limited might be the wrong word, but the mobility not being there for Jordan as far as everything you saw with Malik. You saw him use his legs, both as, you know, in roll-out situations. You know what I mean? So I just think they're
still,
not comfortable with
mentality.
Him.
Apply the mentality.
I agree.
Maybe you don't apply the RPO pieces, but apply the
running
back
pieces. But I'm down
pieces.
To just get the ball in the running back's hands and let them go to work, especially in the passing game. I'm with you there. But I don't know. I wish I had a better answer. I'm very surprised that they haven't been more involved up to this point.
Mimsy, Corey is right. Rodgers is not the Packers' GOAT. Thanks for the super chat.
Oh, boy. We were doing so well. We were doing so well. No mention of it until 49 minutes in, 45 minutes.
I just don't – here's my thing about that. I love Rodgers. I think he was a great quarterback, a legend, Packers legend. He's going to get his name on the bowl. He's going to be – he's going to get everything Favre, Reggie White got. I just – I don't think you can be the greatest all-time Packer and have – on a team that has won 13 world championships – and have only won one championship. I know quarterback wins is not a stat. I don't think you can become, When you look at Lombardi, I mean, fucking Lombardi, man. We are so. You know what? Fuck everybody, because we are so like. No, seriously, we are what? Just like, we are just spoiled fucking brats. We had the greatest coach of all time. There will never be another Correct. Like Vince Lombardi. There just never will. And we were blessed to have that human being who brought people like Emlyn Tennell and Bart Starr and countless, I mean, Power Sweep. I mean, just so many players. I have an entire bedroom devoted to the Lombardi teams. I have 40 8x10s that are signed. I have there's 20 pictures of guys who just were in the Power Sweep, which is one of the most famous plays in NFL history. I mean, it's so hard to overcome. The first team to ever three-peat since we're the only team in the NFL to have three-peats.
And three-peat twice.
I don't know how you can go, we won a championship in Super Bowl I, Super Bowl II, and it's just like
Corey, you're being real nice. I mean, look, because we know whenever we talk about this on Twitter, we get called boomers, which is fine.
I'm not a boomer.
I know
the way,
these
but
kids.
I'm not a boomer, though.
I'm not either, but I get that
I'm
these
Gen
kids
Z.
haven't
Gen
gone
Z's
back
the
and
best
done
generation.
The work. They haven't done the work. They haven't gone back and actually watched these games from teams that they weren't alive for. I have. They haven't. I have. And I'm telling you right now, there's no way you tell me that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest player to ever don the green and gold for the Green Bay Packers when Bart Starr exists. You can't do it. You can't. If you've actually gone back and watched those games, which you haven't, but I get it. It's recency bias. It's these kids idolizing the guy they grew up with. I get that. I understand.
The thing is, like, Willie Davis could be up there. Nitschke, you could make an argument. Like, you can make an argument
for
four.
Don Hudson, hello.
Yeah.
Don Hudson is the most dominant Green Bay Packers player of all time.
100%.
And that's not even a – you can't even refute that statement. You cannot do it. But we're talking about Aaron Rodgers being the greatest Packers player ever. Come on. It's just – it's fine. He was great. He was a great player. He was a great Packer. He was a great quarterback. But, man, I'll put Reggie White up against Aaron Rodgers any day of the
week.
That's the thing. As far as a player, a great Packers player.
Impact, yeah.
I mean, Reggie won just as many Super Bowl rings as Aaron Rodgers. Yep. And he's as great a player as Aaron Rodgers. Love Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is amazing.
Yep.
But Reggie White was just as good, if not better and more dominant.
Well, that's the thing.
It blows
my
mind.
Reggie White and Willie Davis are two of the most dominant players at their position of all time. So, like, it's so many things. Willie Wood is one of the most dominant cornerbacks to ever play. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like I get quarterbacks where they're put
Herb
on this
Adderley,
pedestal.
Anyone,
but
anyone watch Herb Adderley? Go back and watch Herb Adderley. Tell me he's not one of the greatest Packers players of all time. You know what I mean? It's just like there are so many guys in this conversation. And to just presume this dude who you grew up watching, and yes, won four MVPs, no doubt, absolutely made magic happen on the field Sunday in and Sunday out. Absolute legend, like Corey said, is definitely going to get his name in the bowl, deservedly so. Going to waltz into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as he should. But this presumptive, oh, he's the best because I watched him for all these years, and that's it. That's your argument. Like, I can't.
I mean, the other
Corey
thing is that
kills me. The
Brett
response
Favre,
to that tweet killed me.
The thing is that's crazy is Brett Favre was the most exciting Packer player to ever play the game. He excited
that I've seen with
more
my own
people.
Eyes? Yeah, probably.
He's one of the most exciting football players to ever play. I mean, that guy is like, it's crazy.
No
so
question.
It's like,
no question.
It's just hard. It's like, I don't believe that the world we live in is better than the world we came from. And I refuse to believe that. We think we're always moving forward because of technology, but we're human beings. And human beings that came before us, there were a lot of great ones. And to just poo-poo it because you didn't live in that time just makes no sense to me.
At all. At all.
RJ.
Blows me away.
Hey, Corey. Thoughts on the Week 5 kicking operation? Hey, I had the Narv puppy stuff queued for watch party. We didn't need it.
It was all
he
queued
did
up.
His job. You know what?
Della
you know
was ready
sad
to pull
is,
the trigger too. It was so great. She was so ready to pull the trigger on watch party.
Yeah. Joe, question for Corey. What gives you more chills, game at Lambeau behind you? Fireworks when offense is on the opposite end of the field or fireworks when Packers defense on the field? I would say Packers defense only because, like, it's less expected. It's like we're literally talking, and we're just like, oh, da, 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 and then all of a sudden fireworks.
It's second and eight, like, so what's going to happen? Like, and then there's fireworks. Yeah, that's pretty great. That's
so then you're just like, wait, this is going to be good. This has got it. Like, this is going to be crazy. Whatever I'm about
possible?
To see.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So I think that.
That's good.
Janice L., very excited we rented a place in Green Bay. Hope to spend more time there and get out of the Vegas heat. Any dates set for meetups? Can't wait to meet all the Cheesehead TV people in person.
Janice, yes. Our Patreon meetup is in November. If you become a Patreon member, the information is on the page there. You can find out all about it. It's the week heading into the 49ers game, the weekend of the 49ers game. Patreon members from around the world will be gathering at Lambeau Field the night before the Packers take on the 49ers. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you check it
also,
out.
Also, if you're
anybody out there, if you want to become a Patreon member and support everything we do at Cheesehead TV, do it, folks.
Yep.
The Patreon community is the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. Hey, we all meet every single week during happy hour. Next one's tomorrow night. Hop on board.
And if you're interested in staying in Green Bay, I am biased. I own a place that you can rent called Packer Bungalow. Packer Bungalow. And it is very close. It's two blocks from the stadium. And it's a fun place to stay for the whole family. We got shuffleboard. We got
arcade games.
We got Xbox. We got fun times. We got fun times, people. Wendy Vance, what key strategy should the Packers implement to exploit the Cardinals' defensive weaknesses in their upcoming game? Thanks for the super
excellent
chat.
Question, Wendy. The Buda Baker issue is a real one. The safety for the Cardinals. He is, and I don't say this to say that he is on the level of Leroy Butler. However, when I look at this game, he is the one dude on that defense who can really cause you problems. And I would approach it if I'm looking at my offensive game plan and trying to figure out what do I want to do as far as both staying away from problem areas, but also kind of trying to neutralize them. Famously, Mike Shanahan in the Super Bowl against the Packers, between the Broncos and the Packers, he carved his entire game plan around either staying away from or neutralizing Leroy Butler. To me, this game for the Packers has to be about every play has to start with, where is Buda Baker? How do we either get away from him or how do we neutralize him? To me, that is a big, big key because he is so talented. He's an absolute ball hawk. He can wreck this game for the Packers in one snap. So, you know, there's obviously a lot that goes into it, but to me, that is the A number one goal for the Packers offense on Sunday.
Matthew Clark, Love is an amazing hybrid of Favre and Rodgers. He really is. He really is.
Really is. Tauscher and Wildy were talking about this this morning, and Tauscher was like, you know, I got to say it, like, he just reminds me of Favre, and I'm like, yep. Like, it's funny, too, because you can tell also that he studied under Rodgers. Like, some of the mannerisms, some of the stuff he does at the line of scrimmage, the ball fakes, the guitar fake, like, we've seen all of it, right? But then we also see a whole lot of the Favre gunslinging.
Waiting
stuff,
until the very end of the play counts to hike the ball.
Yeah, there's that as well. There's that as well.
Luke Carnes, cheers to always carrying the G. Couldn't make it to L.A. last weekend, but love how the West Coast fans showed out. Thanks, Luke.
They did. What's up, Luke?
They did. West Coast is always good to the Packers. Packers do really well on West Coast. There's a lot of Packer fans. A lot of Packer fans on the West Coast.
It's awesome.
Ed, I'm really hoping for the return of a running game. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, they just need to stick to it, man. They just need to stick to it. Just pound the football. They got Josh Jacobs. Why they refuse to, like, really utilize him since that Colts game is beyond me. I mean, they got a battering ram. Batter away. I'm with you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like they did a pretty good job in the second half utilizing the running backs, but yeah, they could have done
late
more.
In the game, they got Josh going, but
yeah.
And what's funny is, like,
and
the
also
first
I
drive,
want to get Wilson
plus,
going too.
Dude, okay.
So Wilson is a weapon.
He's good.
He's a weapon.
Josh Jacobs is
a weapon.
Infinitely better.
Weapon. This is a different back. Your Honor, I've figured out the kicking issue. Green Bay only has one leg available. Typically, the punter has the leg, but last week it was given to Narv Kitty.
Oh, don't get me started.
Kitty.
Desperately needed a gorgeous, big, booming punt from Whalen. And the one time you need it, he absolutely mishits it.
Also, I mean, that I think he should brutal. Be called Narv Puppy because I don't like cats getting derogatorized. Is that a word?
No, but it's a good one that you just made up.
You're derogatorizing cats when you call Narv Puppy Narv Kitten. I don't like it.
But,
I don't like it one bit.
So we can derogatorize dogs, but not cats.
Derogatorize dogs all you want. They're dumb. But cats are like humans, bro.
Here
they're conscientious.
We go. God, where is my girlfriend? She is a
cat. Cats are like
we have a cat.
Cats are.
I've inherited
cats
a cat
AI,
since we moved
bro.
In together. And let me tell you something, man. I miss my dog.
Yeah, because that cat doesn't like you because it's smart. Dustin Logan, thanks for the super chat. Secured my tickets for 49ers, Seahawks, and Bears. Go Pecco. Nice, buddy. Nice.
He's gonna be over here reading the media guide. It's all good. Whatever you
Mimsy.
Need to do over there, Corey.
Mimsy. Yimby for Titletown. Nimby for that eyesore. I like you, Mimsy. I like you, Mimsy. Aaron Harper, go pack go. The Bears suck and Vikings swallow. True story. Aaron Harper, thank you, Corey and Aaron. Rock. Rock it out. Thank you for the super
Thanks,
chat.
Aaron. Appreciate
Johnny
it,
Rivers, Sterling Sharp was the greatest player. Zero love.
I mean, Sterling should be in that conversation as well. Zero question. No doubt.
No.
Yes.
You have to be on a championship team to be in the conversation.
No, you don't.
To be the greatest.
No, you don't.
Packers
to be the greatest. A player. What are we doing wide receiver wins now? Come on.
To be the greatest player of all time, you need to be on a championship team. And in my opinion, you should have won at least more than one championship on your team.
Cool.
I made the rules.
Wide receiver.
Those are the rules. Those are the rules, okay? Cool.
All right.
Cats do have a superior intellect. Dustin Logan, BJ Raji, most dominant player ever. Yeah, I mean, I'm for that life. Whatever happened to BJ Raji? Where is he? We need him.
It's a great mystery. It's a great mystery.
We need to get him working for Cheesehead TV. I think. Go
he
pack.
He was supposed
Negs.
To be back for the alumni weekend. That for open a home opener. Did he show up? I can't remember. He was going to be back for. I believe he was supposed to be back in town for when they did. Clay Matthews going back into the going into the Packers Hall of Fame. But I didn't see anything coverage-wise around it, so I don't know if he showed up or not.
Go Pack. Negs, what's your impression of the defense so far?
Work in progress. I think you saw encouraging signs last week with Williams on the field. Hopefully that continues. It's interesting to look at the numbers. They are way at the bottom of the kind of rankings as far as pressure and not only just pressure sent, but also any kind of press coverage, which are the two things that we all thought we'd see a little bit more of. But, man, they have not gone down that road at all. And that doesn't mean that, like, that's bad, but it's just a bit surprising to me. I think as the year goes on, we'll see a little bit more of both, though not a ton. And it's also interesting to see kind of how teams utilizing this scheme in other places, like New York here with the Jets, the Texans, 49ers, they've had their ups and downs as well, though I think the Texans are finally finding their groove, definitely. But I think Halfley, first-time coordinator, lots of guys playing in a new scheme, lots of young guys being mixed in. Not surprised at some of the ups and downs, like we talked about this summer. Pretty much expected to go, hopefully, like we saw with the offense last year. Struggles, inconsistencies early. Hopefully, as the year goes on, they become more and more of a fine kind of fighting unit. That's my hope, anyway.
I'm sorry if I don't get the Brandy, thank you for reminding me, by the way. Brandy's saying I don't see the member chats, and that's because I don't have let me just get this going right here. I don't have the
YouTube chat up.
Chat set up. So, Amy Gooding, you should have got all of a dog while you had the chance. Thanks for the
should've.
Amy's been a member
Definitely
for two
should've.
Years. And Brandy,
if she hadn't changed her mind, yeah, definitely.
Brandy, after five, sorry about that, Brandy. After 5 weeks of watching this defense, I have only thrown something twice. Progress?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That
right?
That's pretty good, actually. That is pretty good. Thank you for the reminder again, Brandy, and thank you and Amy for being members of the Carry the G Club, getting our female percentage watching from 2% to 6%. We fucking appreciate the hell out of you.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's incredible. The world. Can't believe it. I love it. And thank you to Brandy for being an awesome moderator of our channel and being a huge, huge, huge supporter of Cheesehead TV. Carl Van Beckham, the fact that Love went like 7-7 after his pick six should make every Packers fan very happy. A lesser QB would have folded. Thanks, guys. I kind of talked about this a little bit about how I do love. Yep. I agree with you, Carl. I love the mentality of not really remembering and just keeping it going. Portmaster, thanks for Super Chat. We should all derogatorize less. It's true. I made up a word.
Well said. Well said, Portmaster.
Dustin Logan, random chain of events, chatted Eddie Lacy on Shadow Lane after the Vikings game, then saw him Monday in Phoenix, then he goes to jail that night.
What?
What? That's a
lot going
story.
On there,
that's
Dustin.
That's an entire
Milwaukee Journal
Packer
Sentinel expose in a super chat. A lot going on there, Corey. Holy Toledo! What the hell? Was Michael Cohen back on the beat? What is happening? Amazing, absolutely amazing. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Like we said earlier in the stream here, Patreon. Cheesehead TV, you guys are the absolute lifeblood of everything we do. If you want to join, it's $5 a month. Go to patreon.com/cheeseheadTV to support everything we do with the brand. We do a happy hour each and every week. People from all over the world literally Zoom it up with us. Next one's tomorrow night. Always a good time. Along with all the members of the Carry the G Club here on YouTube. You guys make Watch Party the absolute best. Cannot thank you enough for your support. Anything else, Corey, before we head out into this night?
No, I'm going to be quiet. I'll wait until next week. I really want to bring up something, but I'm just going to wait, and I'm just going to –
marinated it?
All right. Sounds good. I really believe Aaron Rodgers got Robert Saleh fired. I just do. So there you go.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.